Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about the power of a sector-based approach. Specificity drives strategy. Our guest today is Jennifer Ramsey. Jennifer is the co-founder and principal of Stage LLC. Jennifer is a former investment banker who discovered the love of marketing and business development while preparing sales decks for roadshows to pitch investors on funding startup and emerging growth companies. Jennifer then left the world of high finance for a marketing and business development role, where she developed and led enterprise-wide sector-based programming and spearheaded a client relationship building framework for an Am Law 100 law firm. Jennifer and two colleagues recently launched Stage LLC, a women-owned business development and marketing venture focused on relationships, revenue, and growth for legal services. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you for being here. So before we get started, Jennifer, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? You have such an interesting background, you know, going from an investment banker to working at a law firm and now being an entrepreneur and starting your own company. Tell us a little bit of how that progression took place and why you decided to start Stage LLC.
Absolutely. Well, so as you mentioned, I was in investment banking, and the biggest deal that I worked on while a corporate finance analyst there was an IPO. And it was a biotech company that we were taking public. And I got to be part of the entire process from drafting the S-1 to going on the roadshow with the executive team. And aside from the spreadsheets and the financial models and all those numbers, I got to see and be involved in a heavy dose of sales and marketing process, the pitching to the investors, pitching the company and the executive team and articulating the value proposition. And so that's when I decided, you know, maybe I'll make this jump from finance to marketing. And I've been doing that ever since. But the beautiful thing is that, you know, with a finance background, it truly comes in handy for marketing and sales professionals. You know, I know how to analyze the data to drive decision making. And it's certainly been very helpful during my tenure and my career in legal marketing and now as an entrepreneur. And so I'm excited to touch on the data part of this a little bit more with you in our conversation today.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about a sector-based approach, specifically when it comes to law firms. So I talk to a lot of law firms, obviously, and legal marketers. I also speak to a lot of, you know, clients of law firms. And one of the things I constantly hear is that most law firms, even though they talk about going to market in a sector-based approach, the reality is when you go to their website or when you look at their services, it's really not a sector-based approach. It's a very thin layer of industry information and really not geared towards a sector-based approach. So I'm interested in why you think a law firm should consider a sector-based approach. And if you agree with what I'm saying, that most law firms really don't necessarily approach the market in a sector-based approach.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's a very important distinction to make when firms are considering a sector-based approach. Do they want to approach it from a strategic imperative, or is it merely going to be a BD marketing activity where there's some copy about it on the website? And I come from it from the former point of view, approaching a sector-based approach as a strategic imperative. I'm fortunate enough to have the opportunity at my prior firm to roll out and run a firm-wide sector team program. And really through my experience doing that, I've come to boil it down to three, I would say, strong reasons why a law firm would consider a sector-based approach. Number one, stating the obvious, it's for the clients. A sector-based approach is completely designed around the client. After all, it's the client companies that make up sectors and industries. So with a sector-based approach, there's a shift in mindset from a firm-first perspective or a firm-focused perspective to a client-centric conversation and answering the question, how might we as a law firm best support clients in the industries where they operate, helping them spot opportunities and address their pain points? So first and foremost, it's the client. Second, sector-based approaches are an effective collaboration framework. I would expect a lot of the folks listening to today's podcast will be familiar with Dr. Heidi Gardner's work on smart collaboration and smarter collaboration. She has decades of empirical research that points to collaboration as a gateway for higher value matters, greater client loyalty, and increased firm profits. So one way to foster collaboration is through a sector-specific strategy. And it brings together lawyers from different practices. And importantly, lawyers with different specializations who have the sole purpose of helping solve problems for clients in a particular industry. And when firms can do this, it leads naturally to the third reason why firms should consider a sector approach. It just makes good business sense to understand a client's business. And that, I believe, can give a law firm a huge competitive edge, particularly those who, again, approach this as a strategic imperative. Once sectors and subsectors and clients within those subsectors have been identified, the roadmap for a law firm to target and position itself in front of those audiences becomes all the more clear. Law firm leaders know who their audience is. They know which markets they operate in. So the time, the resources, and the energy that goes into making a firm stand out in that space really all come into beautiful alignment. And firms, just few examples, firms like Latham & Watkins and Oreck and others have taken a sector-based approach to heart and have substantively organized themselves by sectors and industries. And we see these firms as the top grossing in the world, you know, year after year on the Am Law list. So in a nutshell, those three.
I love it. So a couple of things that I want to point out on what you said, because I totally agree with everything you said. You know, client centricity is something that I think law firms are starting to learn, right? That it's not about the way we organize ourselves and our lawyers, but more, you know, how do clients identify themselves and what is going to work for the client? And as I said, I speak to a lot of clients. And one of the things I hear most of the time when they're selecting a law firm or counsel to work with them is, I want a firm that understands my business. I want a firm that understands my industry. And I want a firm that has experience in doing the type of work that I need, right? The types of issues that I need solved. So I totally agree. And I also feel like, you know, you mentioned understanding clients' business. I feel like firms don't spend enough time really understanding clients' business or really understanding the sector that the client is in and the challenges and opportunities that are appearing within that sector. I totally agree with, you know, the collaborative aspect that you said. Heidi has actually been on this podcast, so it's great to hear her name. But yeah, I completely agree. It makes it a lot easier if you have a sector-based approach to collaborate around a client in a sector based upon all of the, you know, the practices and the key knowledge around the firm.
100% agree with you.
How can law firm leaders get started? Where do you begin if you haven't at this point really taking a sector-based approach? How do you start? How do you begin?
Yes, I love this question. It's definitely not for the faint of heart and all beginnings are daunting. But once the why, like we just talked about, is answered, the critical how comes into play. And taking it internally first, looking at the internal infrastructure of a firm is the first place to start. And I like to use a framework called design, build, run for that, which is a takeoff on McKinsey's plan, build, run organizational model that firms use to look at IT functions. And with the design, build, run, in the design phase, at a minimum, a firm should look at mapping its entire client base to an industry classification system. And a great example of this, I'm a big fan of Standard & Poor's GICS which stands for Global Industry Classification Standard. It offers four levels of sector tiers, if you will, starting with the very broadest, the sector, like the energy sector, and then drilling down to the most specialized sub-industry, such as oil and gas consumables, as an example. The design phase also includes conducting a SWOT analysis of the firm's sector strengths, so taking an internal audit or inventory of where do we have points of difference, where do we have differentiators and strengths, and also establishing, and this is very important and key as well, establishing a financial framework for incentives and compensation for lawyers who will be participating and leading the sector teams, dedicating budgets for industry teams or sector teams, and also establishing key performance indicators, as most people know them, KPIs, to measure is our sector-based approach working. Then we move into the build-out phase, which is identifying and appointing team leaders, recruiting working group members who have industry expertise or they have an interest in it, who are going to be willing to go out there and learn more about the industry. Rolling out firm-wide communications campaign is also key in this build-out phase, where firm leadership clearly articulates both the why and the how of a sector-based approach so that lawyers around the firm can understand how they can be contributors and participants. And finally, the run phase is pretty obvious. This is where the industry teams are empowered and operationalized as functional business units that are responsible for going to market, driving demand, and satisfying, delighting customers and clients in the space. So internal infrastructure first, tackling that through a design, build, run framework is the place to start.
That's a great framework. Two questions, actually. What kind of timeline are we talking about to get, through each of the three phases that you described? And then second question is, what is the role of the marketing and business development department at a law firm when it comes to going through each of the phases?
Those are excellent questions. The first one, in terms of timing, it can depend, which I know sounds like a very lawyerly type of response, but it can depend on the size of the firm, how many people to get on the bus, the resources, all of that stuff. In my experience, it was around 9 to 12 months. There's a good amount of time dedicated to the data analysis piece of this, the mapping of the client base, assigning clients to industries, parsing through the data, collaborating with the internal finance and accounting teams is crucial. And that can take, I'd say, 2 to 3 to 4 months. And then as the firm and the team rolls out the actual teams and gets them structured and handles kickoff meetings and agendas and all of that, that can be another 3 to 6 to 9 months. So you're looking almost for, in total, about a year. Now that can be sped up, or you can take your time. It depends on goals and, like I said, resources, but I think that's probably a good bogey. And then to answer your second question, the role of the marketing and BD team, I was in a fortunate place where I was able to be in on the ground floor, helping to lift off a focused sector-based approach. So I was in it to win it from the beginning. I was part of it. I did all of the data analysis, just like I mentioned, working with our internal finance and accounting teams, working with firm management on leadership, working to identify those small working group members who would be contributors to the mission. So I can't even recommend enough that marketing and BD are integral to the successful rollout of a sector-based approach.
Just to be clear, though, and I think I hear you say that a sector-based approach is not a marketing or a business development approach. It really requires a firm-wide buy-in to it, and really every level of the firm has to be involved.
Yes. It's a strategic imperative. I know I keep going back to those two words, but it's just like having strategic goals, what markets to focus on, what geographies to expand in, what does your lateral recruiting strategy look like? It ranks right up there at the very top. What does our sector-based approach look like? marketing and BD are, of course, part and parcel to it. You can't have one without the other, but really it requires the mandate of firm leadership to say, look, we are serious about serving our clients the very best way that we can. And that means understanding where they sit, where they sit in their market, in their industry. What are they facing? What are the opportunities that we could help them take advantage of? What are the risks and pain points that we can help them solve? It requires that big thinking, high level thinking, and it has to come from leadership position, and it has to infiltrate throughout the whole firm as part of the fabric of the firm. So you're exactly right in that it is much bigger than BD and marketing, but it's also marketing and BD is critical and crucial to carrying it out.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
So once you have the internal infrastructure in order, then what? How do you go to market with this sector-specific strategy?
Yes. So again, with another framework, because it's just easier for me to remember. We use a framework. I love threes. My favorite number is three. So there's always threes. So in this, with the go-to-market strategy, we like to utilize a marketing concept called STP, which stands for, it's an acronym for segmentation, targeting, and positioning. And again, your sophisticated audience will know this. This is not a new idea. It's a modern marketing approach that, again, has that nice little shift in focus from the firm to the firm's client. And so taking the first one, the segmentation, you know, back in the design phase of the internal infrastructure conversation, once the clients have been assigned to industries and the SWOT analysis for sector strengths has been conducted, here is the time where firms look at which segment, which could be sectors or sub-industries, which ones to prioritize and focus on. And we recommend starting with 3 to 5 max as a starting point, if, you know, given the size of the firm. And one good example of this is Oric, who early on organized by sectors. They picked 3, which is technology, energy and infrastructure, and financial services. And I love this. They're so clear about it on their website. If you go to the website, those 3 sectors show up at the very top of every single page. No other industries or sectors show up, just those 3. And I think I said this a little bit earlier, but when there is that level of focus and specificity on a few, the roadmap really gets easier in terms of which clients to pursue, partner recruiting strategy, you know, where to put investment dollars. That's the segmentation piece. Then targeting. This is where we urge firms to edge their investment a little bit more towards sub-industries within the larger promising sectors, because a huge market opportunity still exists there, even after drilling down and getting specific about a sub-industry. You know, we don't have to boil the whole ocean. We don't have to go after the entire energy sector. There are beautiful sub-industries within the energy sector that have huge opportunity and are ripe for looking at clients, recruiting partners, et cetera. So the more granular, the better. And Kirkland & Ellis is a great example of this one. They picked private equity a long time ago as a key industry focus, which is obviously part of the broader financial sector. And they have been massively successful positioning themselves as the go-to law firm in the PE space. And then finally, positioning, this is where the marketing and the business development prowess comes into play. Firms now understand their buyers, where they sit, their opportunities and pain points, so they can position their products and their services to be accretive to the client's business and to solve their problems. A good example of this at my prior firm, I was working with a global energy industry team leader who's just absolutely a brilliant visionary. And she had identified hydrogen as an important sub-industry that was predicted to drive the broader energy transition. And as a result, she, along with myself and the working group members and other BD team members, conducted the market research, identified the stakeholders along the whole spectrum of the hydrogen ecosystem, determined clients where we had the relationships and connections. And from there, we were able to develop beautifully crafted messaging that aligned our firm services to the pain points of the clients and the opportunities of the clients. And this culminated in the firm being the first to market with a dedicated hydrogen team, which is a great exemplar or outcome of having a substantive sector strategy.
Excellent. So a little tidbit about Auric, because they used to be a client. They actually had four sectors, but one of them really wasn't a sector, which was litigation. And that was a big internal struggle, I know, but I'm sure many other firms have the same issues.
Yes.
So success. How do you measure the success, right? How do we know if a sector-based approach is working or not?
Yes. Well, putting my quant hat on, there's a few that we like to look at. And again, this goes back to the data mapping of the client base. I sound like a broken record, but you know, setting that up from the beginning is important, because from there, that is when firms can look at metrics such as, you know, percentage growth year over year in a particular industry that they're serving. The firm can also look at the individual clients within those industries and look at the revenue and profitability stats. Importantly, they can also drill down to how many practices are serving clients in a particular industry. And that will give a little bit of a bird's eye view into, is collaboration happening at the sector-based level? Looking at the performance of clients, even just the sheer number of clients that are growing, sustaining, or contracting within a particular industry. These are all numbers that, again, collaboration with the internal finance and accounting team, important, and working with them to develop these types of sector-based dashboards or client dashboards are really helpful to see, to gauge whether the approach is working. And then there's the qualitative side too. There's the anecdotes along the way, the case studies, the stories, you know, that lawyers have, like, oh my gosh, you know, we reached out to this client, we brought in exactly the people who they needed to speak to, and we were engaged. You know, that's a beautiful success story. And those are important to keep track of too.
How do you prevent from focusing on too many sectors, right? This is a problem I know a lot of law firms struggle with, especially from a marketing perspective, that they want to do everything for everyone. And as you probably know, that's not an effective marketing strategy. So, you know, how many sectors should you start with? Or, you know, what is the test to determine? Is it just looking at what sectors your current client base is and saying, okay, these are the sectors we're going? And what if you have 2-3 clients in one sector? Is that enough? So how do you make that evaluation?
That is a great question. And, you know, I think starting with the internal look at where are your most strategically important client relationships concentrated, in which industries and sectors are they? And because, you know, there's this, everyone's heard this rule, you know, business comes from 80% of your current clients or something like that. So So looking where you're currently doing the work, where your clients are currently operating, that is where I would start. And it's not to say that it's to the exclusion of other industries where lawyers might have some skill set and some clients. That is important as well. But from a firm-based approach, there is only a certain amount of time, resources, investment dollars. So really digging in and looking, where are the current clients operating? And, you know, I think I mentioned it earlier. I don't think there's a magic number, you know, we can only pick 3 or 4 or 5. I think that it's looking at the data, looking at the client base, and making a determination from there. And maybe a firm even sets a stretch goal. You know, look, we see a huge market opportunity in this, you know, fill in the blank sub industry. We might not have a lot of traction or momentum there yet, but we believe that with our current client base or with our current resources, this could be something really big. So let's take a look at it. So there's no hard and fast rule, but starting with the internal assessment of where you are with your clients and the relationships, the strength of those relationships, looking at where clients are going too. You know, where do clients see themselves going? A lot of them straddle multiple industries at this point. So taking a look at that, having conversations with clients, that can be rich data that can be fed back into the firm to help organize the sector-based approach. But it's a great question that you posed, Guy. And I don't think anybody's totally got it figured out. But again, using data to help drive decisions is a good place to start.
I would imagine it has to do with, you know, who your clients are, as you said, what are the most strategic relationships that you have. I also think you have to look internally and say, you know, what are we best at? You know, what are our strengths? And also, you know, what are the opportunities? So I agree. I think it's not an easy answer, but it's certainly one that, you know, firms struggle with for sure.
And it goes to the SWOT analysis point. You know, like when's the last time a firm did a SWOT analysis for themselves? And that is a great place to uncover those little gems.
Yeah.
Those, like you were talking about, those strengths and opportunities.
Where do you see the biggest opportunities and rewards for implementing a sector-specific strategy? And where do you see the biggest challenges and hesitations?
So the biggest opportunities, the most rewarding opportunities, obviously, again, starts with the client. This involves the mind shift to the focus on the client. It puts the spotlight on the client. And it also helps provide a sector-based approach, also helps provide a beautiful framework for bringing in specific lawyer teams around the firm, whether it's counsel who are on the partner track or newly promoted partners. These sector-based teams give them a place to get outside of their normal routine of their practice section and meet people from different parts of the firm who are working on some of the same issues for clients in the same industry. So there's, in addition, again, to being client-centered, focused, client-centric, it's a beautiful place to involve the lawyers within the firm. The hurdles, you know, resource allocation obviously is a big one, from especially from a marketing and BD standpoint. I recognize and appreciate that not all firms can dedicate, you know, an entire BD team to an industry-based approach or a sector-based approach. I was lucky enough to be part of that, and I think it certainly made the difference. We were able to liaise and collaborate with our practice section compadres and work with them, and it can lead to some wildly successful results when BD marketing professionals are dedicated to a sector-based program. And then, you know, we touched on it a little bit throughout our conversation. I think another big hurdle is the hesitancy of law firms to double down and pick just a few sub-industries to focus on, home in on those niches. There's the fear that the firm might be losing out on a piece of the pie. And I've seen firsthand that, you know, there's a more than enough pie for people. Even with a focused sub-industry lens, there is enough beautiful work and opportunity out there. So go for it.
Love it. Really, really great information, Jennifer. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. But I do want to ask you, for those listeners, whether they're marketing and BD professionals at law firms or some of the lawyers that listen to our program, you know, what would be a suggestion that you would have if they are interested in, again, developing a sector-based approach at their firm?
Yes, that's a beautiful question, picking up from my last point. And I'll close with one of my favorite quotes from Zig Ziglar, who said, "Don't become a wandering generality, be a meaningful specific." And so I think that goes to the point that firms should be bold and get specific about the sectors and sub-industries where they have significant strengths or where they have a compelling market opportunity, because it's this specificity that sets the stage for success and ultimately paves the way for stronger client relationships, greater collaboration, and a formidable competitive advantage.
All right. Well, to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there, and you can also check out some of our great past episodes. Jennifer, for you, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I learned so much, and we're going to make sure to add the website address to your company, as well as your LinkedIn profile, on the show notes, so that if people want to get in touch with you, they're able to do so.
Great. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed our conversation, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in today. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.